Chapter 14. Undine, Submerged. It was all but impossible to find a private space aboard the armed submersible Tiamat. Both space and privacy existed at a premium below the Undinian waves, and never more so than now, following the attack on Hive Firouza. Commander Lux Allegra knew this better than most, but still managed to find a tiny maintenance alcove in the steam-swathed engineering compartment. A place for kneeling, for gritted teeth, for trembling hands, for tears that would not come. General Pfeiffer and Admiral Novakovich had ordered the planetary defense fleet to put in at Firouza for supplies, munitions, and manpower. The Greenskin invasion force had yet to reach the mercantile hive, and the city boasted an impressive harbor. While the freighters and troop carriers took on contingents of Undine mariners and recruits, Sky Talons drifted fuel and munitions over to Novakovich's launch carriers and heavy monitors. By the time the skies darkened to the east, it was already too late. Without orbital auger arrays to warn the defense fleet, Pfeiffer and Novakovich could have little idea what was coming. So much that they had witnessed of the Greenskin invasion had been unprecedented. The attack on Firouza Harbor was no different. Blotting out the heavens ahead of the storm of raining crash capsules and rocks was a Greenskin wing comprising an assortment of fat aircraft, flying citadels, and super-heavy bombers. The colossal junkers had monstrous bellies packed to the rivets with mega-bombs and weapons of mass destruction. Their thunderous engines barely kept the bombers in the air, while their wing expanses formed runways for smaller jets and kamikaze rockets. Their bulbous hulls swarmed with copters and mounted accreted platforms for fat cannons, launchers, and macro stubbers. The bomber wing's approach was slow and irresistible, eclipsing the sun and casting a great shadow across the ocean. The Admiral's Avenger formations were swallowed whole by the droning monster. The Hive's turbo weaponry and the defense fleet's deck-mounted cannons punched holes in the swarm, but could do nothing to stop the deluge of Greenskin ordnance that dropped from the sky. Monitors and corvettes erupted in cloud-scraping fireballs. Multi-hulled launch carriers were blasted in two. Overcrowded transports went to the bottom of the anchorage, taking thousands of Defense Force guardsmen with them. Mariners, mercenaries, volunteers, men and women who would have fought for Undine, now dead. Only the submersibles survived, carrying the decimated armada's senior officers and staff to the same sheltered depths. When they once again ascended to auger depth, they found a harbour choked with charred hulks and the waters bobbing with bodies. Worse still was Hive Firouza. Within hours, the Hive city had been levelled by the Greenskins' barrage of bombs. Now it was just a small mountain of smouldering masonry and wreckage, being gradually reclaimed by the waves. Commander Lux Allegra only knew this because she had been on board the command submersible Tiamat when the attack unfolded. She had been summoned by both General Pfeiffer and Admiral Novakovich, although she suspected that Lord Governor Borghese's gratitude had something to do with the order. It turned out to be an earned but impromptu promotion. Lux Allegra was commander no more. She was Captain Allegra now. She ached to be with her screeching eagles, to tell Galanda, but they were gone. By the time she reached the forward airlock, the attack had been underway. Novakovich had given the order for the submersible contingent to dive. Rocked by the hell at surface level and the vox reports coming in from sinking ships and vessels aflame, the Tiamat and her consorts sank to safety.
"Captain Allegra to the con! Captain Allegra to the con! Urgent!"
the vox hailer blared. For the longest time, she couldn't make herself move. Her stomach was a knot. Her chest was racked with a paralyzing tension. Her boots felt like they'd melted to the metal decking. Her mind was a picked recording set in a loop. An urchin's existence in the underhive. Golanda. Piracy. Privateership. Recruitment. Golanda. Hive Tyke. Golanda saving her life. The life inside her that belonged to Lyle Golanda. Had belonged to him. Her hand drifted to the flak armor across her belly. She allowed her face to screw up.
"Captain Allegra to the con! Urgent!"
the loud hailer repeated. Allegra's hand fell away from her midriff. She ran the back of the other across her eyes, but still found no tears there. She grabbed the support rails set into the alcove sides. "Get up," the captain told herself, and she did. Her mind was numb, but her legs were moving. She allowed them to take her to the submersible's conning tower. There, she found a rat's nest of Marineer officers and support staff, Undinians who moved with frenetic urgency and purpose, guardsmen and women lost in the emergency who dared not allow themselves a moment to contemplate the unfolding destruction of their homeworld. At the heart of the cramped and darkened command center, she found the Lord Governor. Borghese sat in his wheeled chair in silence. Gone was the imperious triviality of petty demands. Also missing was the careless entitlement of a spire-born. The Lord Commander now felt the responsibility of one born to the spire, a man born to rule in the Emperor's name. He looked almost as wretched as she did. He didn't avoid her gaze. He didn't say anything. He just pursed his lips and gave her his sad eyes. Pfeiffer and Novakovich had lost too many men and too many vessels to feel any particular loss that acutely. Like their frantic personnel, they hid behind what was left of their honour and professional responsibility. Allegra found them standing about the faded hololithic representation of the great ocean. Hive after hive had fallen. The greenskin invaders were falling like a curtain on Undine, their descent line moving swiftly across the ocean planet. Presented as such, Allegra could see how the hive world's oceans had been their greatest ally, swallowing innumerable savages and filling the bellies of deep-sea megafauna. If Undine had been a world of rock and dirt, the greenskin monsters would have long since swarmed the planet. This fact did not make Undine's fate any less desperate. According to the hololith, only the distant western hives of Nemetis, Arethusa, and Pontoplex remained untouched by the alien warhost. Several isolated patrols were still operating on the turbulent seas of these regions, including the Meridius Launch Carrier Group and the Western Marinine Base of Operations, Port Squall. The base sported a Thunderbolt contingent and two Marauder wings, including the Marinine First and Third. It was towards Port Squall that Allegra assumed the submersibles were headed. She was wrong. Novakovich seemed to notice her for the first time. The aged admiral was dressed in his greatcoat and rubbers. He gave her a grim nod, and she managed an answering salute. Pfeiffer didn't acknowledge her at all. He was known amongst the Marineer officer corps to be a cold bastard, but a competent one. And he was the only officer that Allegra knew of that had actually fought off-world. He was staring darkly at the hololith and the story it told. It seemed that the general knew the end, and he didn't like it. "You sent for me, sirs," Allegra said, wishing that they would send her straight back. She did not quite understand what use she could be to them. Her screeching eagles were gone, her captaincy an empty formality. Perhaps the Tiamat would reach the Meridius battle group. Perhaps those Marineers left aboard the submersibles could support the Marinine First and Third in their protection of Hive Arethusa or make a stand at Port Squall. Hive Arethusa wouldn't survive the swarms of hulking invaders clawing their way out of the sea. Port Squall could not hope to stand against the monstrous air superiority of the greenskin bomber wings.
"She sees it,"
Novakovich said through the hololithic static. Pfeiffer nodded, again without looking at the captain. His face was an unreadable mask, taut and fixed.
"She does,"
he agreed in his deep northern drawl. "See what?"
"The futility of the situation," Novakovich said. "We cannot stand against the magnitude of this threat." "The Marineers are a planetary defense force," Pfeiffer said, "and we have defended our fair world to the best of our ability. This is, however, an imperial world. It is part of the Emperor's domain. We must look to the Emperor's faithful subjects on neighboring worlds to aid us in this desperate hour."
"How do we know that they haven't been invaded?" Allegra said. "That they are faring any better than Undine?"
"We don't," the aged admiral told her. "The Lord Governor has allowed our regimental astropath to use his consular codes and send requests for aid to Zeta Corona, Farhaven, and Triassi Prime. We have also attempted to contact the mechanical servants of the Phlogistos Forges and sent word to the Vulpius Crusade, passing through the Wheeled Worlds. The Astropath confirmed that the Black Templar Space Marines received our request for assistance. In all likelihood, the Adeptus Astartes are en route. Sounds hopeful, Allegra acknowledged, but her voice said anything but. The Emperor's angels were crafted to meet such threats as these, Novakovich said, and the Black Templars are known the galaxy over as great enemies of the alien. Undine will prosper once again in the fires of their hatred. I pity no savage, but if I did, I'd pity the greenskins that placed themselves in the Templars' path.
But, Allegra put to them,
the Admiral, the Lord Governor, and I have been drafting a contingency, Pfeiffer said gravely. In the event that the Adeptus Astartes do not reach us, Novakovich clarified. We cannot allow the greenskin invader to take Undine, General Pfeiffer said, his words those of an off-world warlord rather than the sentiments of an ocean homelander. We have a responsibility to the Imperium, to the Emperor. Live or die, we must deny the alien this tiny part of the Imperium.
I agree, General, Allegra told him with difficulty, her own losses still gnawing away at her soul. But how might such a miracle be procured? Billions live, who soon will perish. What weapons we had now sit on the seabed. The enemy is irresistible in savagery and number. They will not be denied.
I need a small contingency force, General Pfeiffer went on, led by an officer of character and certitude. One who will do what must be done.
General!
The Lord Governor gave you as a recommendation, Pfeiffer told her. Your past familiarity with these waters makes you an excellent choice.
The Marineer General focused the hololith in on a tiny island in the middle of the featureless ocean, many leagues from the major hive or pontoon communities.
You know Desolation Point,
of course. Allegra nodded. She knew it well. She'd worked a second mate on a gun rover out of Desolation Point before operating a wrecker under her own captaincy in the surrounding waters. She had both been a pirate and a privateer, preying on pirates in and around the half-mythical port. Desolation Point was the buried memory of a former life.
Apocalyptic invasion or not, the Brethren will not fight for marineers who have spent their life hunting and persecuting them, Lux Allegra told them.
You did,
Admiral Novakovich reminded her.
Those that are not whoring or in their stim chests will have heard of the invasion over the Vox waves and taken to the high seas, Allegra said.
Like cowards, the General muttered.
Like survivors, General, Allegra corrected him.
Well, we will be neither, Novakovich said, if the Black Templars don't arrive in time. Which is why we need a contingency plan, Captain, Pfeiffer said. There is something at Desolation Point of strategic value, but it is not the good anchorage or the Brethren scum that haunt it.
Then what?
Did you ever wonder, Admiral Novakovich put to her, why the Marineers did not simply deploy marauder wings to blast your island hideout to oblivion?
I don't understand, Admiral.
Desolation Point was the worst-kept secret in the 16 seas, Novakovich told her. The Undinian defense forces could have taken it at any time, rather than chasing pirate skiffs all over the ocean and engaging the services of turncoat privateers like yourself.
Then why didn't you?
Allegra replied, the edge of a challenge creeping into her voice.
Because your Brethren, Pfeiffer said, half spitting the word, chose Desolation Point for its isolated location. Just like the Imperial Army.
Excuse me, sir?
Your haven of rust and corrugated scrap is built on top of an old Imperial Army depot, Pfeiffer said. The rocky isle was too small for high foundations, but perfect for a small subterranean installation. A storage facility for two-stage orbital munitions and planetary bombs left over from the wars of the Great Heresy. They were hidden and largely forgotten at Desolation Point, until the Brethren took the island for their own. We could not take Desolation Point, Admiral Novakovich said, for fear that the Brethren had these weapons in their possession and might use them against the Defense Force or even the Hive populations. You thought you were hidden. In fact, you were untouchable. That is why piracy flourished and the Lord Governor's prosecution of the Brethren was half-hearted at best.
I've never heard of such weapons, Allegra told them.
It's likely that the Brethren never discovered them, Novakovich said. They are secured in a fortified underground depot. We couldn't take the chance, however. We have suffered defections to the Brethren, as the pirate lords have to us. The Admiral flashed his eyes.
Lux Allegra didn't care much for ancient history. A bitter fire had returned to her belly, however.
These weapons of mass destruction could be used against the invader, she said, finally seeing where the Marineer commanders were going with their history lesson.
After a fashion, the Admiral said cautiously. Records show that the cache of stored orbital weapons are largely biologicals, General Pfeiffer said. They fell out of favor with Loyalist forces, and a number were secured at Desolation Point.
Biologicals?
Virus bombs, Captain.
The fire in Allegra's belly felt suddenly doused.
A contingency force, she said, repeating the General's earlier words. You mean to deny Undine to the invader?
A gleam of grim determination found its way into Pfeiffer's eyes.
Should the Adeptus Astartes not arrive in time, the General said, I aim to preserve Undine for the Emperor.
Preserve for him a dead rock in space? Allegra accused.
A rock purified of the Green Plague, yes, Pfeiffer shot back. An Imperial rock, Captain.
What about the Western Hives? Allegra said, turning to Lord Governor Borghese. The billions at Pontoplex, Nematis, Arethusa.
The old man shook his head, sadly.
No one will survive the biological weapons once they are unleashed, Pfeiffer said. But no one will survive the invader, and it has already been unleashed.
Lux Allegra was silent. She couldn't fully imagine the enormity of the act Pfeiffer, Novakovich, and Borghese were proposing. She felt the cold comfort of a fate accepted creep into her bones. Her hand unconsciously drifted down to the flak armor over her stomach. All of a sudden, Lyle Golander didn't feel so far away.
We talk of contingency, Captain, Admiral Novakovich said. Hopefully, the Black Templars will arrive in time, and the Emperor's angels will deliver precious Undine. Captain, Pfeiffer said.
I'll do it, Allegra replied icily.
The old men, General, Admiral, and Governor all, nodded silently. A kind of terrible calm descended.
My men are dead, Allegra said at length.
It felt strange to actually say the words.
You can take my security detail, General Pfeiffer said. Commander Tyrone?
An officer stepped forwards from the shadows of a tiny command center. He was dressed in the charcoal uniform of the Marineer elites and had the dark skin of a southern hiver. His face was all jutting bones and unsmiling gristle, a man made hard by his duties and the needs of the general under whom he served.
Tyrone and his squad will be at your disposal, General Pfeiffer said. The commander will be of use to you in priming the virus bombs for a launchless detonation.
Allegra nodded at the commander, who said nothing. Pfeiffer gave her a data slate.
This contains the location and security codes for the depot hatch entrance. We cannot guarantee easy movement across the island. Desolation Point is a small colony, but will still no doubt attract landing enemy in voracious number.
Just get me as close to the shore as you can, Allegra said. The northeast anchorage is the deepest and traditionally admits submersibles.
Hold the depot, General Pfeiffer ordered. Prime the biologicals and await my command. You think you can do that?
Allegra turned with a data slate in hand and made for the conning tower airlock.
Like I said, she said half to herself, I'll do it.